Thank you. 9:10, we get to slow down a little bit and talk about some stuff that's kind of interesting. And Ali Moussad Ali joins us, associate professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at LSU. Talk about some wind tunnel stuff and hurricanes and building resistance, et cetera. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I know this is not your bailiwick and not what you came on to talk about, but this OceanGate thing, I don't know if you looked in any of that or followed any of it, but as an engineer, you had to have been shaking your head at numerous times if you did follow any of this, right?
Yes. So here, basically, our work focuses on wind impact on infrastructure resilience. And my expertise is primarily on understanding wind effects on buildings during hurricanes, such as Katrina and other type of windstorm, and how we can build safer, more resilient homes. So I'm happy here today to talk about our lab, which is about advanced OpenJet wind testing. How can we build more resilient infrastructure?
How has it evolved in the last couple of decades when it comes to this kind of research, Professor?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the first was Hurricane Andrew, and actually caused tremendous amount of damage in Florida. And after that, building codes started to get better, but still, unfortunately, up today, and still can see damage. But there has been tremendous amount of improvement, but still there is a room for research and further improvement because we are looking for something that is resilient and at the same time economic. That's the core of the research. You don't want it to be too expensive. So in Louisiana, after Katrina, there have been improvement enforcing the use of the uniform building codes, like the International Building Code and the International Residential Code. Specifically, there was a very recent update in 2023 about improvement of using the codes. But the research is the core of these improvements. How are the codes are designed? How are the codes, where they get the information from? It comes from labs like ours.
What you do fascinates me, although I don't understand a lot of it because it's not the way my mind works. But is it, when you talk about, you know, it's got to be affordable, and I get that, I always go back to the thing that a contractor will tell you where they say, do anything you want. If you got the money, we'll do anything. So the point I'm asking, Professor, when it comes to the physics of all of this is if you had enough money, is there any way to make a house or a building hurricane-proof, or do the materials, do the physics just not support that?
Let me share with you a story. It's hurricanes, it's ground-mounted solar panels or different infrastructure. So we recently conducted a study after the Hurricane Maria. So our research has shown that there is a substantial economic benefit of resilient design. Mm-hmm. For instance, in a study after Hurricane Maria, we found that while rebuilding cost about 50%, because 50% of the solar farm was damaged due to the strong hurricane wind. But if we were to incorporate a resilient design, add a little bit of reinforcement, guess how much would that cost? 2%. And that's what they do now with fortifying roofs and other components of the building. The cost of the initial cost of the whole building isn't 1 to 2%. If it is a roof, you have to replace it. Probably you will add like 20% more. So it's not too much cost, but the idea is you don't have to rebuild again.
Tell me about some of the experiments that you all conduct.
Well, here we basically what we do is running wind tunnel testing at higher Reynolds number under complete turbulence. So what wind tunnel test is doing is the secret is for being able to fly and the advancement in the airplane industry come from this type of wind tunnel testing. So understanding how the shape of the airplane impacts the efficient flight stability and efficient consumption of fuel. So in the building, we look at similar. Mm-hmm. So we look at how can the efficient design of building can reduce the developed wind forces. So that by understanding that, or how the wind forces develop under complete turbulence. So the big issue over the years was the wind tunnels used for the airplane industry are not the same as the wind tunnel used for buildings and the infrastructure. Why is that? We are near the surface. We are near the ground where the turbulence plays a very important role. So the turbulence here is not the same as the turbulence that an airplane would see when flying at higher altitude. So this is the core innovation in our OpenJet testing facility, that we replicate complete turbulence as that under hurricane winds, which is a big challenge in previous wall-bounded wind tunnel testing. And the result is a tremendous underestimation of wind forces that cause failure to the building. That's the previous one. So ours covers this by replicating the correct physics in the lab, and hence we predict the correct forces that cause failure. So we have more accurate understanding of the wind impact on the infrastructure.
What are some of the more significant gains, I guess, or discoveries that you all have made, Professor?
Well, one interesting example is if we look at our testing and the previous test, our test often it's producing 25 to 300% difference in peak pressure than typical small test. And keep in mind that small scale testing is the core for the building codes and the standards. So, and these results align much more closely with actual full-scale field measurements, like the real world. This means we are providing direct evidence-based information for needed improvement in design guidelines. We have also found that traditional wall-bounded wind tunnels may underestimate the peak loads that cause cladding failure on high-rise building. And that's a very recent example. After Hurricane Laura in Lake Charles, Capitol One building suffered from damage from cladding.
Professor, I got to stop for a second because I don't know what cladding is.
Yes. So cladding is like the windows, the walls, the panels, the skin.
Well, like that building that they tore down in Lake Charles, it was all glass panels or whatever like that?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's
right.
What happened. So we did this testing here in our OpenJet to understand what is the reason. The reason is previous testing says underestimate the forces that cause damage, while ours produces more accurate, realistic results. So if this was used before the design, we wouldn't have seen the damage. Another important finding that we have seen is integrating solar panels with residential homes. That actually can help reduce the loads and the forces on the roof when the solar panels actually are done. Properly are installed in the right zones. So what we looked at how roof-mounted solar panels influence wind forces on homes. And it was surprising that our experiment have consistently shown that properly installed solar panels can actually reduce the wind uplift forces acting on roof. This having
really?
Because, yes. Yes.
Wait, so let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back here. So you're saying that actually having solar panels on your roof can decrease the force of the wind? Is that what we're saying? Or decrease the effects of the wind?
That's what we have seen after the experiment. And we can scientifically explain the reasons.
Let me do that when we come back, all right? We got to take a break here. We come back. One other thing I want to ask you about as far as your experiments go. Having ridden out Katrina in what is now the Benson Tower, I know a lot of the failure was not because, if you want to call it a cladding windows, whatever, was not necessarily because of the wind, but it was because of what the wind picked up and these pebbles, wherever they were coming from, and that just were going through the window like bullets. Interesting conversation we have with Professor Alid Musaad Ali, an associate professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at LSU. They have a large-scale wind tunnel. They do a lot of tests that replicate Katrina-strength winds. And you heard what we said about solar panels, what he said just now about solar panels and the science behind it. We'll talk about it when we come. I don't know if it's left side of the brain, right side of the brain, whatever it is, but my job will drive me crazy because I'm more of a logic, a law kind of guy, that kind of thing, and it's hard to find what is real truth. I mean, you can drive yourself crazy trying to find out what is the real truth. On the other side of it, I love talking to people like our guest, Ali Musaad Ali, an associate professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at LSU, because when it comes to physics, when it comes to engineering, although my mind can't grasp it, you guys, Professor, do deal in absolute truths, do you not?
We base our judgment is based on the experiment, based on facts.
And then you challenge it, and you try to disprove it, right? And then you keep challenging it and challenging it until you prove it. Accurate?
That's right.
Okay. That's why I said, hey, you guys find absolute truth. I wish I was smart enough to do that, but I'm not. Tell me about solar panels, because what fascinates me about this is I would think, and this is why you should never assume, especially when it comes to things of a physics nature, you would think solar panels on a roof. You kidding me? Why not give the wind a handle to crank the roof off? But actually, it's just the opposite, right?
Yes. About the truth. The truth is also based on the tools and the resources that you have. That's very important, because a big difference of what we do today compared to previously is we have a different lab. We have different resources. This is very important to support the finding and to find really what is truthful.
Since you brought that up, let me ask you, is any of that funding at LSU... because what we're talking about here is, you talked about a 2% improvement that cut all that rather than 50%, 2% cost to improve rather than 50% cost to replace or whatever it was. So what I'm asking is LSU at risk of losing funding that could result in all of us losing advances when it comes to protecting our homes during hurricanes?
Funding for research is very important. It's not just pushing the boundaries of science, keep improving when hurricane comes, but also for education and preparing the workforce, the next generations of leaders and educators and engineers and whoever serve our country. So it's funding is very important when it comes to education.
Now back to the solar panels and the roofs and the wind.
Yes. So about the solar panels, what we found is from physics, it's called what is pressure equalization. So putting solar panels, creating a gap between the panel and the roof will let some wind flow underneath between the roof surface, panels, shingle, tiles, and the solar panel itself and part of it flow there. So this will create equalization on the solar panel itself, reducing forces. And the panel comes with a racking system that can be connected to the rafter, which actually adds additional resilience to existing roof system. Because the issue, the vulnerability is the cladding that I said before, which is the skin, all right? These are vulnerable to wind. And when you secure them properly to the main force resisting system, which is in this case the rafter and the beams and everything there, then damage become less probably to happen. So what we found is don't put the solar panels close to the edges, but leave certain distance. And again, this depends on the primary building, the shape of it. Is it gable roof, flat roof? And then also the spacing between the panels themselves, is there the edge added to it? And what we found very interesting, the overall uplift on the main force resisting system was reduced by 45% to 63%. So that adds indeed resilience to an existing building, and it gives a chance to, you know, the installer will look at the roof itself. If the roof is already vulnerable and it needs some renovation, it could be done during this installation phase, I believe. So yes, and the reason for that is, think of the airplane on the wing. There are like flaps and these little features there that when change, minor change in the overall shape of the wing, right, of the whole airplane can lead to the ability to do takeoff and landing. That's completely different, right? You get a huge uplift force on the airplane to fly and then reduce that for landing. For buildings, we do not want that huge uplift force that takes the roof away. So looking at the shape and how the flow pattern on an existing building can make a huge difference in the design.
I mentioned earlier, pardon me, having ridden out Katrina in what is now the Benson Tower, then it was, I forgot exactly what it was, I don't know the name of the building, not important, but I know as Katrina was passing through, it seemed to pick up a lot of pebbles from different roofs or wherever, and those projectiles is what broke the windows and pierced the cladding, I guess. Do you do any, do your wind tunnels do any experiments with projectiles like that, or is it all about just the wind and the, what do you call it, aerodynamics of that?
Well, the answer is we can do that. Hopefully when we get funding, but the facility can do that, is ready for destructive testing and look at how a projectile can cause damage to the next building. Because you brought a very important point here, is a vulnerable structure upstream where the wind is coming from will not only be damaged, but will cause damage and risk to everything around it. So we have to secure almost every single building. So it's not just my building, but also we have to, and that's important. So that's why the code enforces reinforcement of the infrastructure. That's why there is a code, because it's not just you who is going to lose your property, but also you are going to bring damage to other building in the surrounding. But yes, our facility can do destructive testing, but we have not done that yet.
You know, when it comes to the physics of this, you know, when you look at the new moon capsule that they're building, and it seems as though, I guess physics being what they are, they had the right shape of Apollo, because that's going to be the shape of what the new module, whatever you call it, thing, capsule is going to be. And I'm just wondering, if you look 5 years, 10 years down the line, when it comes to shape of houses, angles of roofs, et cetera, is there a lot of improvement that can be made as far as wind resistance, or do we pretty much know what we know as it relates to wind and angles and buildings and roofs and physics and all that?
That's very important. Again, what makes an airplane fly? Its shape. So what we want to do for the building, we don't want it to fly. Mm-hmm. So the shape, we can play these parameters. What people have done and what we understand is a flat roof is not the same as a gable roof. It's not the same as a hip roof. Probably hip roof will be better. And the inclination angle of the roof But at the end of the day, all buildings are what is called bluff bodies that will cause flow separation. And that's the big issue that brings the forces that causes damage. We haven't seen yet a streamlined. Streamlined is when the wind flow around the object nicely with less separation, typical of the airfoil in the airplane. Because doing that, you will lose probably the space. But there is always improvement, you know, with 3D printing, with the power of things like computational fluid dynamics, with optimization. We can even look at what we have, like the roof angle, like the putting things like architectural features, like a parapet on the roof, mm-hmm. that also can reduce the uplift. But because of the function of a building, we need space in it, right? So probably changing it to be exactly a streamlined shape that can be difficult, but there is always a room of improvement. So yes, maybe in the with continuous research, we continue to understand the effect of architectural features, and the architect is the lead on that. Sometimes they do changes the shape just because of the way it looks. They want it that way. But if we talk with the architect as a wind engineer, we might compromise and come with something that is like, for example, if it is a high-rise building, a little bit of chamfer or trim of the corner can reduce the forces by 25%.
Mm. What about
will the architect approve that? That's important.
What about gargoyles? Just kidding. I wanted to see if you'd thought I'd lost my mind or not. When I'm looking at, you know, in advance of talking to you, I looked up different roof types and styles and so forth. If you, Professor, tomorrow were building a house, is there a specific type of roof? You talked about hip roof before, or gabled roof, or gambrel. Is there a type of roof that you would select for your house, or a flat roof? Tell me what you would pick.
Really, it depends on the area, how big is the house is. But I would recommend the hip roof, because we tested the flat roof and the gable roof and the hip roof, and this was at small scale. Even it was for educational purpose, and the flat roof was easily flying, and the gable roof became a little bit stronger depending where the wind is coming from. So if it's coming from a 0 degrees, not like 90 degrees when the wind flow is parallel to the ridge. So it becomes almost like a flat, but with an inclined angle that doesn't help. But the hip roof was found to be the best in reducing the up.
I appreciate your time and your work, Professor. Do me a favor on April Fool's Day. Open a class by saying you've done some research and that gargoyles are especially effective against wind damage. Would you do that, please? On April Fool's Day.
Yeah, we would love to
throw a gargoyle joke in there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Have a great day. We'll take a break, come back, talk about what's going on with rain barrels and the work they're doing to keep the city from flooding. Back in a flash, WWL 939 Traffic Now. It is currently 9:45, quarter till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Christine Nicole Ryan, the Executive Director of Greenlight NOLA. Good morning, Christian, rather. I'm sorry, how are you? I know I said Christine, probably because I'm wearing the wrong glasses. How are you?
Okay. I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I am okay. Tell me about Greenlight New Orleans. What is that?
Greenlight New Orleans. Well, these days we're known for our beautiful rain barrels. See them all over the city and next to folks' houses. But we started way, way back, shortly after Hurricane Katrina, as an initiative to help New Orleans residents conserve electricity, save on their utility bills, and reduce their carbon footprints through energy-efficient light bulbs. So we began as a light bulb organization, and we went out and installed literally hundreds of thousands of energy-efficient light bulbs for citizens across the city.
Tell me about the barrel. I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
We're all about the barrels. Yeah,
I want to talk about those barrels. It's amazing what a difference they can make, is it not?
Oh, it's truly amazing. So, we believe that personal action is all can contribute. Sorry for the stutter. To collective impact, right? And so one resident can have, through Greenlight New Orleans, one or two rain barrels. So if you have two rain barrels next to your home, that's potential to collect approximately 110 gallons of water per rainfall. So, it alleviates localized flooding around your residence. It allows you to capture 110 gallons of water for watering your garden or other non-potable uses around the house. But then also it alleviates the burden on the stormwater system, right? So if you think about since 2015, when the rain barrel program began, we've installed about 3,000 barrels at 100 gallons every rainfall can really add up to make a difference.
Is there some kind of thing, because I know I'm going to get texts on this from people saying, yeah, what about mosquitoes? I presume you put a cover on this after you collect the water. Is that how it works? Is it like tight where the downspout goes directly into the barrel? I've not seen one, Christian. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, we need to get you a rain barrel. So okay. It's the rain barrel design is incredibly thoughtful. Just a lot of different iterations to come up with something really good. So the design is a closed system, so it is attached to your downspout. So, anybody that would apply for a rain barrel, we ask that you do have a gutter system and working downspouts. So it attaches to the downspout, and then we have two different kinds of barrels that we use. We get our barrels from food service partners, so they're all food grade barrels, and they are closed on the top. So one barrel, there's absolutely no point of access for mosquitoes. And then one barrel has a lid on it that we put a mosquito net over the top of. So, no worries about mosquitoes.
People actually take to decorating these things, don't they? And make them, an addition to the house, like a decorative feature.
Oh, absolutely. They are functional environmental art. So every single rain barrel is prepared and painted, and then art is put on it by a volunteer. So almost our entire operation is volunteer supported. Every barrel is unique. Every barrel is hand painted, and they are all beautiful and interesting. So when you start to realize that these rain barrels exist around New Orleans homes, you'll start to see them. You get an eye for them, and you see that they come in every design and color that you could possibly imagine.
So let's talk about the event that's coming up with Entergy, with the 20th anniversary of Katrina, and it happens tomorrow, correct?
It does happen tomorrow. So Entergy has supported Greenlight New Orleans since the very beginning, since the light bulb days. We had Entergy volunteers that would go out and help get light bulbs installed, and of course Entergy funding helps keep us going. And so Entergy volunteers have been helping prepare and paint barrels for many years, mm-hmm. but tomorrow they're actually going to help us install. So our goal is to install 20 barrels. I'm not sure that we'll make that goal, but that's the goal. And the thing is that, we have a very small staff. We're a staff of three. We have a lot of desire for rain barrels, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are waiting a long time for their barrels. And so Entergy is going to just come and help us get a bunch of barrels installed tomorrow, just in time for the coming rain, so that a lot of folks who have been waiting a while for their barrels get their barrels tomorrow.
Who is this open to? Not tomorrow. I'm talking about in general the program, Christian. Is it the greater New Orleans area, Orleans Parish proper?
It is anybody that is within the levee system. So okay. We install some barrels in Jefferson Parish and St. Bernard Parish. And all you have to do is go to our website, which is greenlightneworleans.org, and fill out an application. And the application will ask you, do you have a gutter system? Do you have downspouts? Now, if you rent, you can still get a rain barrel. We simply just have a landlord waiver that we ask you to bring to your landlord to make sure that it's okay to install a rain barrel. So basically anybody within the levee system is eligible. Our barrels we do ask for a cost share donation, a minimum of $10. So our barrels can be obtained for $10, and that includes installation, of course. And again, the only way that we can do that is through supporters like Entergy and our other partners.
And what do people use the water out of the barrel for, watering plants and those kind of things?
Yeah, folks use them for watering their gardens and then just other non-potable uses around the house. So it may be, you know, rinsing off your garden tools. Another thing about the rain barrels is having this captured water does provide you with a source of non-potable water should utilities be disrupted. So, for example,
flush the toilet.
You can use the water, flush your toilet. Yeah, exactly.
Presuming the lift station is operating, I just know that from hurricane coverage. I hate to say that, but I just want to. Hey, really, tell me again the website. Christian, a pleasure talking to you. How do people get on the waiting list
to find out
more about the barrels?
It's greenlightneworleans.org.
Thanks. Good luck.
You're welcome. Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. You have a good day. And actually, it says save people $32 a year on water bills, and all of us are worried about wasting water and using water. So there you go. 9:53, 7 till 10. We'll find out what Newell's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.